speaking of Cubby craziness, the bar scene around the Wrigleyville neighborhood is insane. I know there's no other way to put it. And Marissa Conrad from the Chicago Tribune is joining us. Marissa, it's so good to talk with you. Well, like, what, almost 24 hours since the last time we saw each other?
Yeah, almost 24 hours since we were watching all of those people line up at about 7 a.m. in Wrigleyville.
And insane.
Yeah.
It's insane.
They're still out there.
They're still going, yeah. Some people are going to go for 24 straight. We should go meet them again with a TV camera and just see how they feel now. Marissa,
I don't know if they'd appreciate it as much right now.
No, they were so happy earlier this morning. Marissa, we got to ask, so we've been talking about weddings and stuff and what happens if your wedding falls on a Cubs World Series game. And I know you're a big Packers fan. I don't know if you want me saying that, but let's say there was a wedding and it was during the NFC Championship game and the Packers were playing. What would you do? Would you go to it? Would you keep your phone on? What would you do?
I mean, you would have to go.
Right.
But you would, you know, I think warn your people, and if they're really your people, they'll understand that you're going to be on your phone, you're going to be checking the score. I mean, it's a reception, it's a party, so hopefully they can roll with it.
I imagine, in Packer country, I imagine if they were getting married, they would know, and they would make sure that people could see it.
Well, right. I think they'd bring in, you know, if it were me, I would bring in a big projection screen, have it actually going.
Packer-themed wedding.
Yeah, green and yellow bridesmaid colors and really pretty dresses.
Lots of cheese.
Okay, so let's talk. Yeah, cheese. Sorry, I have to stop anytime I hear
cheese.
Anytime I hear cheese. All right, Marissa, were you guys, so you guys at the Tribune, you guys went to every single Wrigleyville bar, right?
Yes, we went to every single one. Check out what the scene would be like for Cubs fans. Did a big guide online. ChicagoTribune.com/Wrigley Bars. You can check it out and tell you a little bit about, you know, if you can expect a crazy crowd, maybe a place you can grab a seat, places that have good drink specials. And as of late, places that are charging up to $1,000 just for a table.
Part of me is like, I can't blame them. They're trying to capitalize on what certainly will be people paying for it.
Right. But can't blame them, but it's a little greedy.
It rubbed you the wrong way.
It's a little greedy. It's like, come on, you can make some money and not go overboard.
Did you talk to any of the owners or the managers about that? Did they comment on that, or did they just kind of say, hey, this is what we're doing?
You know, a lot of them were not really willing to talk. We had a few hang-ups, a few people saying we were told not to talk to the media.
Really?
Do you think they're shamed? Yeah. Like, they're like, we're going to charge this, but we feel bad.
Right. We did have a few. You know, one of the representatives for Barleycorn and that group said that, you know, they felt that the crowds were getting so out of hand that it would be beneficial to people to know that they could get in, could get a seat, just know ahead of time that they would definitely get in. So that was the way they were spinning it.
I mean, that is interesting to think. If you're going to put down so much money,
right,
you're going to want to stay there and not get blitzed and then get kicked out.
Right.
You've made a financial commitment to remain
like,
the entire evening.
So much money, I'm going to be here all night.
I think it's interesting to how I would like to see how it compares to what they charge for their New Year's Eve packages.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even more.
I guess that's the only comparable, is like a night out like that where it's universally expected that people are going to have that. But it doesn't even approach some of these prices that we're seeing here. I'm kind of interested to see if any these bars ended up having empty tables or were a little wide open. Based on what I saw walking through Wrigleyville, I don't think so. I think the demand was there for this.
Yeah, I think it was too. I mean, I did a walkthrough as well, and it seemed like there were people everywhere in every bar and every window you passed.
Do you think that part of it, I mean, it's got to be just that so many people can't get into the game, obviously. It only seats 42,000, ticket prices through the roof. People just have such a strong desire to feel a part of history that they're willing just to be proximity-wise, just to hear it, just to feel it. And, yeah, I'll pay $100 to get in. I would. It's way cheaper than going to the game.
Right, and you're surrounded by people who care as much as you do, and we're cheering, and you get swept up in that energy. But again, you know, then there are places like Murphy's Bleachers, Trace on Clark Street, Sheffield that, you know, said they would never charge a cover. And, you know, you can people have to line up extremely early to get in, but, you know, you can do that for free and get that same crowd feeling.
In the editorial meeting you guys had for this, how did you guys divvy it up? Was it like drawing straws, or did people have their favorites where they wanted to go to?
I took it upon myself to divide it up. I felt like if we got into picking and choosing, it may turn into not a fair endeavor. So I did it geographically. So I just told, you know, said you have between Grace and Addison on Clark Street, et cetera, and said all of our reporters out there and walking the streets and going into every bar and asking the bartender about specials and scoping out, you know, how many TVs and how many seats and how many floors and even, you know, how many bathrooms.
Oh, that's important.
Did you guys look at all, or did you notice what the quietest bar was?
Ooh.
I know it's not going to be that quiet, but, like, the most kind of chill.
Quaint.
I think more chill. Like, maybe they're not so crazy rowdy. Least rowdy.
That's a good question. You know, Nisei Lounge was pretty chill, I would say. Again, this was not, we obviously had to get this story out before the World Series began. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's hard to equate what would be might be happening right now. But before we were out there, I felt like that was a pretty good bar. It's been around forever. And, you know, like some kind of classic dive bar where the bartenders are nice to you. And
God forbid. An old-fashioned bar where the bartenders treat you like people.
Did you actually measure that with the bartenders? Like their temperature? Like, are they salty? Are they really super nice?
We did not include that in the guide. I think generally speaking, you know, everyone working in Wrigley during this time is, you know, one, very patient.
Right.
They have to be. There's a lot of, you know, I'm sure a lot of people clamoring for drinks. I feel like I just have a lot of respect for them. I feel like it's a tough job to be doing right now.
Well, if nothing else, hopefully maybe those cover charges, I don't know how they're getting distributed, but maybe that helps pay for some of the staff and gives them a little bit of a bonus. I can't predict that that's going to happen everywhere, but that would be really nice. One thing about Wrigleyville is it has such this reputation, and probably rightfully so, in many ways, as being like college plus. Like, that's where everyone who went to a Big Ten school, they end up in Wrigleyville, and they're like, I have this job now in the city at Leo Burnett's or wherever I work, or Groupon.
In marketing.
Right, exactly. I'm in marketing, and now I have some money to spend, and I'm going to get drunk. But there are a few, I don't want to say higher end, but there are. I mean, it's sort of becoming, there are some nicer places in the neighborhood.
Yeah, and I mean, the neighborhood's changing, definitely. I mean, we all know that iconic McDonald's was knocked down and that hotel development is coming in and it's going to have, you know, a big star in it, that nice taco place from Wicker Park that everyone adores, and, you know, some other just, let's say, more upscale restaurants coming into the scene. So I think it's a neighborhood in transition for sure.
I talked to the chef at Old Crow, And he said something interesting to me. He said, I think that we've become one of the first kind of food destinations in Wrigleyville, because that's also not what you think of. You think of the drinking scene, but a lot of these places, and I think that just might be part of the demand as the millennials seem to love that they're all foodies now. Everyone's a foodie, so there's a demand for that.
Right. They want a place that they can eat something that they'll enjoy and, you know, maybe get a cocktail instead of just a mixed drink or a beer. So I think bars are having to meet that demand for sure. You know, up at Clark and Grace, another barbecue place, the Old Crow does barbecue. And they have now a new competitor, Myron Mixon Smokehouse, which is a national chain. And it just opened, I'd say, a week ago. So they snuck in just in time.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I'm
digging the all-you-can-eat barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
Their meal package thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's supposed to be pretty good, so.
All right, so let's say you're going out to, let's say it's tomorrow night. You're not going to a wedding. Where are you going in Wrigleyville? Let's pretend. Where are you going? What bar are you choosing?
I'm going to Sheffield's. It's a longtime favorite. And that beer garden, you know,
yes.
Tomorrow's supposed to be 73.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cooling off to the mid-50s by game time probably, but still, it's more than nice enough weather, especially for us Chicagoans.
And it's a little bit south and east of the Crazy Craze, so you can you can scoot to an Uber pretty quickly from Sheffield's.
Yes, that is true as well.
All right, Marissa, thank you so much for breaking all this down for us. Oh, before we let you go, we're going to transition. We're going to talk about Halloween candy. Do you have a favorite Halloween candy?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? We just bought everything that we're going to hand out to our trick-or-treaters.
Uh-huh.
And we bought a bag of miniature Take 5 bars.
Take 5?
I haven't ever eaten a Take 5.
What is a Take 5 bar?
Is that new?
I believe it's a new Hershey product. And I have seen them in a larger form, but this is the first year that I've seen them in Halloween candy. And that's often when I find myself trying and buying candies around Halloween. And, you know, it's got peanut butter and pretzel and Hershey's chocolate and... I'm telling you, I don't know if there's going to be any left by the time the kids start.
You're going to take 500 of them, in fact.
Yeah,
and also, you sent me, what the heck costume are you, like, I asked her if she could come on, and she's like, I'm just going to be up late at night sewing a crazy costume anyway. So what did you, is it a South Park thing?
It is a South Park thing. They did a, back in 2004, two characters that debated each other.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can go in. Now I'm seeing what I'm seeing.
I don't know if I can go into it, but...
Is that a feminine hygiene product?
Yes.
Okay. That's on the left. Okay.
Oh, I vaguely remember that.
Here's a picture she sent me. We need to see the update of it a little bit later
on,
okay?
That's right. They were mascots,
yes,
weren't they?
I'll take you some pictures, but I am working on it as we speak.
Wow.
I just picture you in your apartment sewing away with your phone on your ear, just chatting. Marissa, thank you so much for sharing your morning with us, okay?